We're just a couple of nerds looking for a place to leave all our Harry Potter ramblings.
We're the Wizarding World's alternative voice.
I'm the resident trivia expert.
And I'm the master of fourth wall breakages.
I'm Raven, that's Thistle for ya, and this is Quipcast.
Hey y'all, we're glad to be back.
Today we're following up on our last episode. We're discussing Wand Woods now.
This one is equally exciting in my opinion.
It really is. There are so many different wood types out there, and each one comes with its own unique properties that affect how the magic in our wands works.
Keep in mind, though, what Garrick Ollivander said. Only a minority of trees can produce wand-quality wood.
Fair point. Just because a tree exists doesn't mean it's worthy of becoming a wand.
Exactly. So listeners, we don't want you to think that you can go crafting your own wands willy-nilly and expecting great results.
True enough. Shall we talk about how a wand is made really quick?
Good idea. Obviously, the process starts with selecting the wand wood. Then, the bit of wood that's taken from the tree, usually a branch or a particularly thick twig, is carved into the new wand's shape.
From there, the wand's core is embedded within the wood. Side note, the core is often chosen based upon the wood type so that they complement each other well.
Just in case any of you are thinking about heading outside and immediately crafting your own wands, take note that it does take a lot of training and practice to be able to detect which trees will make good wands.
That's likely why there are only a handful of wand makers in the world.
One obvious way to tell if a tree has the correct properties to be used as a wand wood is if it is being guarded by Bowtruckles, one of my favorite creatures, actually.
Those creatures can be downright nasty when confronted, so don't just walk up to the tree without a plan.
Feisty but sweet little earth babies. Now listeners, don't forget that Bowtruckles are also masters at blending in with the trees that they protect, so it's not all that easy to spot them. For our Muggleborn listeners, they're relatively similar to the Nomad stick bug.
Also true. Shall we talk about some of the wood types now?
Yeah, I think we've given our listeners enough of a history lesson for today.
Well, at least we're more entertaining than Professor Binns.
Well, maybe I am.
Hey!
Some of the most common woods used to make wands are ash, birch, cherry, hawthorn, holly, and walnut.
A few uncommon ones include blackthorn, yew, silver lime, vine, and willow. The most rare wand wood of all is, of course, elder.
Since the rare wood types are the most interesting, let's talk about those.
Okay, so blackthorn wands are particularly suited for warriors. A blackthorn wand is extremely loyal to its owner.
Yew is actually reported to give its owner the power of life and death, as it has a rather dark reputation. People suited to yew wands are likely fiercely protective of others. Fun fact, if a wizard is buried with his yew wand, the wand often sprouts into a tree that guards the owner's grave.
That is so friggin' cool.
I know, right?
Okay, so silver lime is one of my favorite wand woods, actually. It works best with those that have a great capacity for being seers and skilled legilimens. It is incredibly powerful, but it is in short supply because of a huge surge of witches and wizards wanting the wood for their wands in the 1800s.
That's unfortunate.
It really is.
Vine is another great wand wood. It's one of the most discerning woods out there, which is why it's so rare. The one and only Hermione Granger actually has a wand made out of vine.
Owners of vinewood wands are often deep thinkers and seekers of influential purpose in life.
No wonder Hermione's wand is made out of vine. It's quite perfect for her.
Indeed it is.
What's next?
Willowwood. It is incredibly useful for healing and advanced nonverbal magic. They tend to select those of greatest potential. Oddly enough, those that own willowwood wands often are insecure.
Wasn't Ron Weasley's second wand made out of willow?
It sure was. And we all know how insecure he was, although it was completely unwarranted. That man is a powerful wizard, even if he never did his homework.
Listeners, that's not an excuse to bail on your work.
Not even a little bit.
The last wood that we'll talk about today is the most notorious, elder. Only one known wand was made out of this wood, and it was extremely unlucky. Not only was it difficult to master, it also attracted trouble from power-hungry witches and wizards.
And that's why the Elder Wand's reputation is so bleak. Maybe it's a good thing Harry Potter snapped it at the end of the war.
I don't know. Maybe the wand could have turned to light magic in the right hands.
And maybe it could have turned any owner to the dark arts.
We may never know.
Well, this has been a very long episode, folks. I think it's time we wind down. If you want to learn more about wandwoods, you can always head to the Hogwarts Library. There's a great selection of research material there to peruse.
Until next time, don't let the Nargles get you down.
Mischief managed.